If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. I'm your host, Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Give us a call. Let your voice be heard. It's just a few minutes after the top of the hour, and we're glad you could join us today. And we're going to have a really great show. Really looking forward. We got Joe Carr coming on. We're going to be talking about what happens when the country becomes a country that is too dependent on entitlements. You know, we've got a war going on right now in the Senate with liberals, who I happen to believe are the afterbirth of the botched abortion that caused the birth of Karl Marx and rhinos, their liberal, rhinos, their bastard children. In particular, I'm thinking of Senators Bob the Corker Porker, Senator Lamar, Senator Cornyn, Senator John McCain, Senator Saxby Chambliss, Senator Lindsey Graham, all of these rhino Republicans that are putting down Mike Lee, are throwing Mike Lee and Ted Cruz under the bus on defunding Obamacare, saying that they can't vote on a continuing resolution that's going to shut down the government. When the fact of the matter is that shutting down if we vote on a continuing resolution to defund Obamacare, we can defund it, as Ted Cruz says, we can defund it. We can defund Obamacare, but we can fund all the rest of the government. I want to throw a few facts out there on this Obamacare and the reason why it needs to be defunded. And it needs to be defunded now, not later. We don't need to vote on anything that's going to fund Obamacare and allow that entitlement to take over one-sixth of our economy with the hope that we will get rid of this entitlement down the road. After the election. That ain't going to happen. Never in history has an entitlement been given to the people in which we have gotten rid of it. Obamacare fact number one, Obamacare is hurting the economy and jobs. A 2013 U.S. Chamber of Commerce small business survey found 71% of small business is going to be affected by Obamacare. They're going to start hiring less people to get underneath the law. Obamacare fact number two, 41% of small business owners have delayed plans to hire new employees, and 38% say they have delayed plans to grow their business in direct response to the law. Obamacare fact number three, moving from 49 workers to 50 workers will cost a business at least $40,000 in taxes if it doesn't offer Obamacare-approved insurance coverage. While Obamacare fact number four, according to the International Franchise Association, 3.2 million full-time jobs out of 9.1 million franchise jobs could be cut back or eliminated because of Obamacare. And fact number five, a National Bureau of Economic Research July's 2013 study indicates Obamacare could force nearly 1 million Americans to go to work to get less work and go on welfare. Now, these are just the facts, folks. These are the plain and simple facts. You have to go to defundobamacare.com, sign the petition, and you need to be calling your state senators. I called Senator Cornyn's office, who's been talking out of both sides of his mouth, saying that he was an original signer on Senator Lee and Cruz's letter, which he was, except for that he pulled his name. I called Senator Cornyn's office in Dallas last Wednesday and spoke to a young lady by the name of Rayel and asked her point blank, what is Senator Cornyn's position? These poor folks, they are really in a tough situation because Senator Cornyn continues to say that he is supporting defunding, that he's an original signer, but he doesn't tell anybody that he's pulled his name and he's withdrawn his support. He's standing up there beside McConnell. He wants to defund it later, not now. He wants to let this entitlement go ahead and take control, and then we'll deal with it down the road. These people are part of the problem. They're as bad as liberals. I also wanted to find. Oh, and I told the young lady. I said, well, then you need to express to Senator Cornyn that he needs to quit being so ambiguous and equivocating, and he needs to quit talking out of both sides of his mouth. And if he doesn't change his mind, you can bet that I will be working very hard to primary him. You know, this is kind of a strange position to be in because Senator Cornyn has actually always been a pretty reliable conservative. As compared to Kay Bailey Hutchinson, he was very conservative. As compared to Senator Ted Cruz, he's looking more and more like a rhino. So, you know, these are the things that we have to deal with. These are the things that we need to be fighting. And these are the things that you patriots need to be getting on the phone, and you need to be calling your representatives in the Senate, and you need to say, I demand that you jump on board for defunding Obamacare now, not later. You need to be calling your House representatives, and you need to be demanding that they write a bill that defunds Obamacare now, so that when the bills go to committee from the Senate and the House, we've got something to work with. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. I'm your host, Michael B., along with my partner, my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. It is about 7 minutes after the top of the hour. And let's get old Bing in here and see what's going on. Tell us a little bit about the show today. You know, Bing, we were talking earlier. Let's go ahead and make the announcement. The big news that's going to happen on September 1st here on Conservative Nation Media its subsidiary, conservativenationradio.org, which is the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Brother Bing, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Michael. I tell you what, this week's been just a godsend to me, man. It's just, you know, since I lost my dog, right, Charlie, my little Sheltie, and my wife heard of some people in the neighborhood that had a female Sheltie, and she's about 3 years old, and they said, well, she's house trained, but they got too many animals. They just couldn't, you know, take care of her anymore, and she's got all her shots, everything. So she went over there. She's seen him. That's Charlie's sister from the same litter, man. So she, you know, it was like a no-brainer. She picked her up. And I tell you what, this little dog, she's sitting right here in front of me right now, exact same position where my other dog used to sit. It's just uncanny. Everything they do is the same. It's almost the same, except this dog don't bark that much. But, you know, that's just an off-the-cuff remark. You know, as far as, you know, just my life goes and stuff like that. But she's just so cute, man. I love this little thing. It's, you know, dogs and so on. Being out in the sticks, man, it's just, I love having a dog around, you know. It just, it gives me some kind of solace, you know. It gives me some kind of fortitude, you know.
Yeah.
Because they don't ask for nothing. They don't ask for nothing, you know, really, you know. But, yeah, today, as far as the show goes and what you were relating to, the welfare mentality is just ripped. It's gotten into, with Cornyn over there, it's gotten into it's gotten into the political aspect of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people are on welfare. If you look at it, if you think about it, they are on welfare. They get our tax dollars, and they sit there and jet set. They do whatever they want to do and make whatever laws they want to make and, you know, come up with whatever kind of harebrained schemes that they want to. And we have to pay for it. And it's the same thing like we're trying to deal with out here in the real world. We're trying to deal with this, you know. Don't you think so? I mean, you know, to me, I don't see no difference in it.
No, well, there is, you know, there's a really good quote in The Road to Serfdom from Friedrich Hayek, 1944, to tell you how long this battle's been raging. You know, of course, Friedrich Hayek grew up in Europe, and you know, during World War II, under the oppressive socialist Nazi regime, of course, Ayn Rand grew up before she came to America under the oppressive socialist Soviet regime. Both regimes, one extreme right, one extreme left, but not right as in, like, you know, how folks like to call us Nazis on the right. But what they really don't understand and why that's stupid is because Nazism was socialism, just the same as the USSR. But in Hayek's, in his Road to Serfdom, you can apply this to so many things. The word in here, object, it has the word object, but object can be anything. In this sense, it's other people's money. He says, if we wish to preserve a free society, it is essential that we recognize that the desirability of a particular object is not sufficient justification for the use of coercion. Apply that to any entitlement. The left, the progressives, desire our money to redistribute it to other people, so they're forcing it, or using coercion on us. That's how we're going to lose. That's how we're going to lose our free society.
Yeah, if the politicians don't get lockstep in line behind people like Ted Cruz and so on, that don't, you know, that are against this, and Joe Carr, our guest, is coming on here in a little bit. They have to have some backbone to stand up and say, look, we're not going to let the illegals come in here and take over. Why do we need some kind of policy for illegals to come in here anyways? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why is this, I do get it. Okay. They want votes and they want cheap labor. So it's both parties involved. And I think that until we reach the fact, or, you know, we realize the fact that we've got a problem here, and how are we going to deal with this? Look, they came here on their own free will. They can go home on their own free will. I'm just going on the illegal thing right now. I mean, that's how they got here. They can go home. As far as welfare goes, you know, I was sitting there the other day. And it's just, I don't even want to quote statistics anymore, because I don't think they matter to a lot of people. I don't think statistics matter to a lot of people. When I see somebody that just won a lottery, $500 lottery, and they're in the store and they're buying stuff on an EBT card, then I have to start to wonder. I have to start to wonder what is going on here. We have lost our focus as far as a society that has been raised up to work, you know. I mean, I go to work every day. My dad worked every day.
Well, being,
to
you
make
know,
money to, you know, you, to feed us and so on.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's sickening when I sit there and I see these people that are out there for whatever they can get. It's the whatever I can get mentality. That's
yeah.
What it is.
Well, we're coming up on the soft break, but real quickly, you know, you and I, you being from Tennessee, I being from Texas, two pretty dang red states. When you have progressivism creeping into states like Tennessee or Texas, or the majority of most of the southern states, which tend to be very conservative, you gotta wonder. Well, if it's starting to get recognizable in our red states, what's it like if you live in Michigan or California, where you know that it's blue, progressive, liberal, socialist? You know, right now, just to give you an example, down in San Antonio, which is a Democrat-controlled stronghold here in Texas, the city council there is proposing a change that would discriminate against people of different faiths and curtail religious liberties. Basically, what they're doing is they're going to pass an ordinance that says if you belong to a religion that doesn't think homosexuality is okay, which is all religions, then you can't hold a city council position.
It's mind control. It's mind control and it's power. You know, that's what they want, is to control you, me, everybody else.
Yeah, that is that. I mean, that's just sickening. Now, of course, if they pass that, you know, obviously the state attorney general, it probably wouldn't be Attorney General Greg Abbott because he'll probably be the governor by then. It'll probably be Senator Paxton who will be our attorney general. But I mean, he's already pledged that's not going to fly. That's so unconstitutional. But that's the kind of people that we're up against. If they can't beat us in the table of debate, then they're just simply going to change the laws, damn the Constitution, damn the state Constitution, damn the federal Constitution. They're just going to pass whatever law. It's like throwing spaghetti and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, and let the Supreme Court try to figure it out. That's what this whole administration is about. They're not about fairness. They're not about anything except control and power.
Oh, absolutely. Well, buddy, let's do this soft break real quick, and we'll come back and chat a little bit more about it.
Yeah, let's see how this is going to work.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It is 19 minutes after the top of the hour today. We just got paid today, and the government wants to take it away, Bing. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about a dependent a president that has employed the Cloward and Pivens model with extreme success and is taking this country down. You know, it seems to me that Detroit City, Michigan in general, are prime examples of a failed model of socialist progressive rules and laws was employed in Detroit. I mean, the union thuggery took over the corporate world and employed progressive socialist ideas, and that's what brought down the companies. It wasn't the company's mismanagement. It was the left mismanaging their power and their abuse and forcing the companies to employ tactics and business models that don't work. And, you know, sooner or later you run out of other people's money, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, and the thing is like you were talking about the businesses up there and so on in Detroit, they got rid of a lot of their best engineers, in Detroit, you know, early retirement, that kind of thing. So now you're dealing with, if you're in that if you're in that line of work, you're dealing with a bunch of idiots. You know, well, basically, you're dealing with a bunch of people that don't know. They're more cosmetically inclined to design something that, that looks good, but it doesn't function. And you can't mold it. You can't get it out of the mold once you sit there and do that, you know. It's unreal.
Well, you know, and we can use many examples. Let's take the auto industry in Detroit. You know, I heard someone say the other day, well, you know, the automobile industry is thriving in the South in the right-to-work states. Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is, because they don't have to abide by the rules of the regulation. People still get paid a fair and decent living wage. But it's not more than, I mean, you know, a janitor that pushes a broom and gets $50 an hour and a lifetime's worth of benefits, that company's going to go broke. You can compare Texas to California, two states that are relatively the same in size, population, coastline, resources. Our business model, our state government model is a conservative one. We employ tax incentives to business. We have low property taxes. We have, you know, I mean, anybody that wants a job in Texas can get a job. People are 1,000 families plus a month or a week are moving into Texas. I wish, quite frankly, they'd stop because, you know, along with the immigration problem and the demographics that are changing in that regard, all of these liberal, white liberal elitists, as my buddy Nadra Enzi says, liberalism is white supremacy with a smiley face on it. And he's absolutely right. Nadra being a community leader in the New Orleans, a conservative grassroots leader in the New Orleans area that's leading the charge down there, who is from the black community and knows about what he speaks of. And, you know, same with Wayne Dupree, Christopher Arps. You know, a lot of our friends and leaders within our traditional American movement circles that are saying, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this entitlement mentality of the Democratic plantation is killing the black community. And it has been since 1964. And now it's starting to kill everybody. I don't care what color you are. This mentality of, you know, taking from the now less than half of us that do work to pay for the more than half of us that don't. It's simply out of control, Bing. We lost Joe from Montana. Sorry about that, Joe. Call back. We was about to pull you right in there. Bing,
yes,
your thoughts.
718-305-7176 to call in and speak with us. I was saying earlier, I was going through some statistics, and, you know, I mean, of all the people out of work from the illegals, from all the people out of work from these government plans and so on, and Obamacare coming up, that's going to put a lot of people out of work and put a lot of people on the government dole. We can't sustain it. We can't sustain it. It's not sustainable. It's not something this has not even been researched, in my opinion. It's just way out there. The numbers that these people want to tout they're not there. But when you sit there and you said, you know, you have states like, look at what happened and look what's happened in California. Liberalism, that's killing California. It killed Detroit. Detroit no longer really exists. Dearborn, Michigan, see, you don't exist anymore. You maybe exist in the people that live there, but you don't exist as far as a viable economic option. There's no tax base. Everybody moved out. They got out of there because they knew what was going on, what was coming down the pike. And I think that the people in Tennessee, anyways, we've got a pretty good work ethic here. I mean, there's some places where I go and I'm like, woo, I don't know about that, you know. They want to leech and mooch off the system, but you know, the more people, I think more education is needed. I think more education and enforcement of the laws that we currently have on the books is needed.
Yeah, well, you know, let's just here's some more cold hard facts, I'm sure there's liberals listening to us. They don't generally typically call in, but we do know that we have folks on the left that monitor our broadcasts. Here's Obama's record. January 2009, Americans out of work, 21.5 million. Guess what it is today, Uncle Bing? It's 23.1 million, a change up of 1.6 million Americans out of work. Gas prices, January 2009. These were the good old days. $1.89 a gallon. The national average, $3.91. National debt in January 2009, $10.6 trillion. The national debt today, $16 trillion. That's a 51% increase. Family incomes. Now, this will blow your socks off. $54,962 a year was the national average in January 2009. It's down $4,908 a year to $50,054 as of today. Americans in poverty, 39.3 million in January 2009, a gain of 6.9 million people to a grand spanking total now of 46.2 million folks on welfare, Bing. I mean, this is an unsustainable model. The country cannot survive this.
No, and you know, really, the government should not be in the business of mandating or dictating or even helping businesses thrive, but they want to. This administration does, at least. And, you know, they do it through, you know, the wind turbines that they want to set up and the solar energy companies that they want to set up that have all failed. They've all failed. Because nobody wants them. The free market does not want them. You know, they're not ready. It's not ready for prime time yet, you know. So why are we sitting there? Why is the government even involved in this aspect of life? You know, why are we involved in this? But, you know, you talk about the unemployment numbers and so on, and there's a lot of those numbers are skewed, I think, in some aspect or respect, because people have stopped looking, and they I think this is by design by the government, because they want them to be self-sufficient on them. They want them to rely on the government to be their mothers and fathers and their daddies and mothers and that kind of thing. They don't want you to be self-sufficient. And so, you know, they purposely set up this game that they got to get people on welfare so that they become subservient to them so that they vote for them in the next election. You see how this works? It's like, you know, it's like the dog chasing its tail, you know?
Yeah.
Over and over again.
We're up against the hard break, brother, and I believe that we've got Joe Carr on the line. So before he comes on, we'll bring him in. But I just to wrap up our discussion, I think it was a week ago, Obama said that talking about the Keystone, and this is to answer your question, you don't know what they're thinking. Well, they know exactly what they're thinking. It's to pander to their base, and it's to keep America broke. Let's say, take, for instance, this Keystone Pipeline. Obama chuckled last week and said, you know, that the right is coming up with bogus figures, you know, because for his perspective, it's only going to create somewhere between 50 and 100 jobs, when in fact his own government, the State Department, said that this will create as many as 42,000 jobs. He says he doesn't know why we keep talking about this. I mean, this man is so full of
everything's a Everything's fake. Everything's false. There's these false allegations, false tragedies that we've had in Benghazi, these false things that we've had with the economy. Look, this economy is on a short road to hell right now, in my opinion. And unless we get it straightened out, it's going to go off the cliff. And I don't want to be the lemming that follows the rest of the bus.
No, I'd rather
just go ahead and jump off the cliff instead of having to do that.
Well, I think, I'm obviously going to continue to fight, but I really have little hope for our future. I really do. I mean, I'm kind of glad that I'm roughly 50 years old and that I don't probably have that long left. I feel sorry for my children and my grandchild. I don't think they'll ever know the America that you and I knew, but I'm kind of glad that I won't have to see the demise of our country.
I don't know if it's got to that point, but I think that it can be turned around. And with people like our following guest or our next guest here, I think we can turn it around. But we have to help out everybody. The Ted Cruz of the world, the Rand Pauls, sometimes, the Joe Carters and so on, who's coming up here. Even if you're not in the same state that you live in, you have to understand, you have to realize that, look, I think there's a distinction between the North and the South going on here. You got Christie up north that just wants to do whatever. You got Bloomberg, I think there's a distinction. I think the South is coming back. But yeah, we do have to take a break, Michael, and we'll have Representative Joe Carr from Las Casas, Tennessee, here after this short break. Be back
okay,
in two.
Well, yeah.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Kids and Uncle Bing. And we're back here, 718-305-7176. And it's my pleasure to announce our Tennessee representative, Mr. Joe Carr from Las Casas, up in the 48th District, running in the 4th District of Congress. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Bing. How are you doing? You guys doing good?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing very well. Been very, very busy. It's been an active summer, and I appreciate you having me on again to talk the issues that are relevant today, and welcome your listeners as well.
Well, you just won a couple Bestie Awards. Why don't you tell us about them? Because I think that's pretty cool.
I'm from a little farming community in the northeast corner of Rutherford County. And for your listeners, Rutherford County is the geographical center of Tennessee, and it sits about 30 miles southeast of Nashville. The county seat for the Rutherford County is Murfreesboro. It's a little over 100, it's about 110,000 people. And it's a very political active community because Middle Tennessee State University is there, and it's got a student population of almost 30,000. So and we're a suburb of Nashville. So we've got a lot of positive things going for us. Anyway, so one of the papers had, and I didn't even know it, but had nominations and voting for the best Republican in Rutherford County. And, you know, we have two state senators here in Rutherford County and four state representatives, as well as dozens of local elected officials who are Republicans. But I was fortunate and blessed to be nominated and selected as the best Republican out of all my peers. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big win there. I mean,
well,
me.
it really is.
Coming from the source, you know.
Well, I quite honestly didn't expect it because, to be honest with you, Bing, and hopefully your readers, listeners will appreciate this, but, most of my colleagues are conservative, but I would say they're cautiously conservative. And what I mean by that is that sometimes they're not as outspoken in their conservatism as I wish they would be. And usually that being politically cautious in your rhetoric is rewarded with awards like this. But in this case, I guess one of the more outspoken members of the Republican delegation was rewarded with maybe being outspoken. I hope so, because I've always been outspoken, and I will continue to do so.
Well, that's what we like about you, man. You said you were going to go to D.C., going to be a fighter, you know.
Wait a minute, Bing. I thought you liked me because I had a face for radio.
Well, that too, okay. But I got to say, man, I like you because you're a straight shooter, okay? And, you know, if you don't like somebody, you'll tell that person that you don't like them, you know, and you tell them why. But it's not that, you know, it's just that I think people in this, I got people in chat right now saying we wish he'd run for mayor or governor or whatever of our state. And I'm like, well, you know, no, he's ours. So, but what, you know, we're talking about the welfare mentality here. You know, we see this all the time, in not just in Tennessee, but all around the country. And where do you think it stems? I mean, I know a lot of it stems from the government, you know, that keeps wanting to put people back, and they want people on the dole. They want the power. They want the control. We know that. It also stems from the poverty pimps that want the control, and they want the job. I don't even know what job that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton's do, and you had a very good video I shared this week of you debating Al Sharpton a little bit, and 1-2 punch for you. But, you know, is this the mentality of the people itself, or is this fostered by the government and by the media?
The answer is yes to both questions, and I'm not trying to be obtuse. But what we have is we have to understand it's a spiritual issue, and it's a spiritual issue that bureaucrats and liberal progressives have stepped into that void, and conservatives have been inadequate in responding. And here's what I mean. My faith dictates that man is fallen. And that fallen nature is manifested in a variety of ways. But one of the ways it's manifested is that we struggle to do the right thing because of the opportunity we have to take the path of least resistance. And when that path of least resistance, and let's say an individual has an opportunity to work for $10, or that same individual has an opportunity for somebody to give them $10. Now, if you're raised properly, you'll work for $10. But if everybody around you is getting $10 for not working, and you're the only one working for $10, that has a corrosive effect on your ability to withstand that evil that has existed, that preeminates there. And so what we have is we have a government in the United States that literally is a welfare state that is continually incentivizing people not to do things in exchange for money or for benefits or whatever the case may be. So we are literally disincentivizing people away from a Protestant work ethic that most of us grew up with. And now we're seeing a generation where that work ethic is actually missing. And that's the problem. So we have a liberal welfare state government taking advantage of the fallen nature of man, and the problem has grown exponentially because of that. Now, that's just my opinion, Bing, but I think that's the challenge.
No, I pretty much agree with you on that. I mean, I think that there's some other ancillary things that come into play, like, you know, people saying that, oh, you're special, you know, in school and that kind of thing. No, you know, when I grew up, I wasn't special. I don't know about you, dude, but I was not special. I mean, I was just a regular dude, you know, going to school, trying to get my grades and keep my grades up and stay out of trouble. I wasn't special. I wasn't elevated to some kind of status that was not mine to have in the first place. And I think that there's a lot that has to do with the way that kids actually, see the world around them, you know, and how their parents and their teachers actually, as you said, incentivize them. And what do they have to look for when you got A-Rod over here that, you know, is, you know, I don't know, there's, when I grew up, we had heroes, we had people that we looked up to. It just don't seem like we have that anymore, Joe.
I guess we don't have heroes, but I guess my point is with regard to A-Rod, I mean, we've had people cheat in competitive environments since the beginning of time. I mean, you had the Chicago Black Sox, if you remember those guys. They cheated in the World Series. So, I mean, now you got A-Rod cheating, or you got Lance Armstrong cheating. I mean, in a competitive environment, the will to succeed or the will to perform, in some cases, is a greater motivating factor than it is than the will to play by the rules. But I think that's different than what you're asking. Because we've always struggled with that. That happens and has happened throughout history. What you're talking about, or what you first alluded to, being, as I think, is something systematic, chronic, and now quite endemic to our culture and our society. When you have the majority of people in this society who are now receiving a taxpayer-funded benefit, and that taxpayer-funded benefit now is seen as an entitlement. We now have people saying, you know, the government, I have a right to work. No, you don't. You don't have a right to a job. You have a right to go find a job. You have a right to go make yourself available and as attractive to get a job. But nobody owes you a job. Nobody owes you an education. Nobody owes you health care, especially the government and the people who pay taxes into that government. What you're owed is an opportunity to succeed on your own merits through your own abilities. That's what you're owed. And to the extent that the government assists you in your success is to the same extent that the government stands in the way of somebody else. And so the government should be getting out of the way of people and so that everybody can succeed or try to succeed on the same platform and at the same level. But that's not the way we're doing it anymore.
Well, that's the free market at work. I mean, essentially,
that's the free market.
Yeah. And we've lost contact with that. It's like everybody's special. You need to be, people need to be propped up to the same level as everybody else for them to succeed. And the thing is that that's not the way life is.
The cornerstone of a free market, being, if I can just for a second, the cornerstone of a free market is a free and fair competitive environment. What all that means is this. If you don't have the ability or the, excuse me, if you don't have the will to fight for yourself, then probably you're probably one of those who've been on the government dole too long. And what and a classic example of this is the Obamacare problem we have confronting this country, and the initiative out there by Jim DeMint of the Heritage, former Senator DeMint, to defund Obamacare. And he was so right, and I know this is not what you want to talk about, but I think it illustrates what you're trying to say. You're so right when Jim said, since when do Americans not fight for what is right because they're afraid they might lose? I mean, my God, man, we had 136 men and women at the Alamo who knew they were going to die, and they had an opportunity to leave, and yet they all insisted on staying there. They knew they were going to die. And yet, we can't even get our politicians in Washington, our Republican, supposedly conservative politicians in Washington, to stand up and fight for what's right. And all I'm saying is we have lost our will and our courage, and it's truly sad that we can't get those men and women who swore to uphold the rule of law and the Constitution to abide by their oath of office. And to all those men and women who fought and bled and died since the founding of this great nation, I tell you what, King, we owe them an apology because of the abject weakness shown this day by so many of our political leaders. It's a sad, sad day.
It's sickening, Joe. It's sickening. And me and you talk quite a bit. And the thing is that you're always the same on these issues. You're very staunch. You're very, you know, supportive of the military. And I got a little break to do. I was wondering if you got another 15 minutes to spend with us.
Yeah,
or?
I'd be glad. I can hold over. That'd be fine.
Oh, okay, great, brother.
And to your listeners, I'm sorry I got so fired up there. I kind of get passionate about this stuff, so. I get fired up. Yes, I do.
Hey, you might be interested in this, Joe, and you can call in to our new show, actually. It's been out there for a while, but Conservative Nation Radio is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues. Dave does a great job, too, man.
Yeah, I know David Vance. Dave's been up to the Capitol several times. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he does a show every Monday, I believe, or Mondays, yeah, every Monday.
Okay,
Dude, we got a lot of shows coming up here, and they're going to be starting hot and heavy here next month. But, yeah, Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, and Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
And you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism with our special guest here, Joe Carr, Representative Joe Carr from Tennessee. It's kind of weird, Joe. It's like, you know, I feel like I know you pretty good, and it's like, you know, I want to call you Joe, but I know that I need to present proper decorum and say Representative.
Let me tell you something, brother. just call me when it's dinner time. That's all. It's Representative's fine, but Joe's preferred. Quite honestly, so we're good.
You can call me Bing. We're doing a good job as far as keeping Tennessee in line. The number here is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. If you want to opine, call in and give us your opinion. Now, Joe. Other than what we're talking about today, what do you see as the major hurdles coming next year in Tennessee as far as legislation goes?
Well, there's going to be another push to recalibrate and reorientate property rights back to the individual. You and I have spoken several times that Tennessee has some of the worst property rights in the country. And I have since 2009, 2010, filed legislation allowing Tennesseans at least to have an alternative dispute resolution, or what they call an ADR, as opposed to going to court, especially for those property owners who have their property seized via eminent domain and don't have the money to go hire an expensive attorney or appraisal. And we're just wanting to give everybody a voice. So that'll come up. I think you're going to see some legislation because of the surplus in the budget that we've got. We've got like a $300 million surplus. You're going to see us continue to roll back taxes. We're already one of the most attractive states in the country, but there's no reason why we can't make Tennessee more attractive for individuals and families and businesses to locate and live and prosper here. And I think Tennessee has a unique and very rare opportunity to lead the country back towards not only fiscal responsibility, but back to a moral grounding where, just to be candid, good people believe in the Bible. They believe in the greatness of this country, and they know who their neighbors are. And I think those principles that you and I maybe grew up as kids have been forgotten, but they're not lost, and I'd like to introduce legislation that recaps that. You have to rekindle that, and that's exactly right.
Now, we got Nissan here, which is really doing pretty good. And, I've always believed, that I think the government can foster an attitude or an atmosphere of companies coming here to procreate or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I don't think they ought to get into the company's business. And I think Tennessee's done pretty good in that respect so far.
We have historically done very well, although I will say this. Under Governor Bredesen, we did make some horrific investments. Hemlock up in Clarksville. They've all but shut down. That was a $1 billion investment with tax incentives. Governor Bredesen had Ten Invesco, which was a $200 million boondoggle. We still don't know where a lot of that money went.
Bridgestone took up and went too.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Bridgestone. Well, Carrier, I know, and then Bridgestone.
Yeah.
You go out.
I didn't know. I knew Carrier had left out in your neck of the woods, and I know there's a Bridgestone facility out that way as well. But I didn't know. I thought they've shut down out there.
They might still be open in limited facilities. Maybe they're not totally shut down, but they're limited.
Wow, I didn't realize that. But the best way to attract business is just to limit the size of government, because government has such, through its regulatory authority, has such a prohibitive or inhibitive effect on not only businesses wanting to start here, but they make it difficult to grow here. And Tennessee is doing a lot in that regard to make sure that we don't do that. So, but we can always do better.
Joe, this is Michael. Let me jump in here if I may, Bing.
Go ahead.
Joe, you know, well, congratulations on the awards. And I know you and I've gotten the pleasure of getting to know Senator Nicely. You know, you guys over there are doing some, you know, doing what you can. You know, speaking of business incentive, Texas is, and I know Tennessee, you know, is along those same paths. But, you know, this is why here in Texas we have over 1,000 families a week moving into Texas. Unfortunately, they're bringing with them their progressive ideology. I think we've got 3 or 4 more elections before the demographics and the influx of people here actually do change our state politics or start impacting it. But I think we have 3 or 4 cycles left yet in which we will remain a very red state and a Democrat won't win a statewide office, something they've not done since 1994. But where I wanted to go with this is, I know that Alexander Lamar, Bob Corker, Saxby Chambliss, McCain, Lindsey Graham, who, you know, Karen Mace is going to put a great challenge up to over there in South Carolina. And John Cornyn, incredibly John Cornyn, whose office I called the other day. This is what I opened up with. And I just wanted to get your input on this. You know, this Obamacare, this is a monstrosity. Right. And a very, very few senators are behind Mike Lee and Senator Ted Cruz on defunding it now, not later. And these rhino senators and even the House of Representative folks are saying, no, now's not the time to do it. We don't want to close down the government. Well, they're not first of all, they're lying to their constituents. We all know how continuing resolutions work, and we know that a continuing resolution can be written to fund every single aspect of government but for anything that has to do with Obamacare. So not only are they lying to us, but they're actually admitting defeat in advance of, rather than standing behind and with Senator Cruz and Senator Lee and saying, we're going to fund the government, but we're not going to fund Obamacare, put it back on the the Democrats and say, here you go. If you want to close down the government, then you'd be the ones that close it down. We'll fund it all but Obamacare. What's going on with the party? What, I mean, you get it. Senator Cruz gets it. Senator Lee gets it. All of the folks I'm supporting here for statewide office in Texas, they all get it. But, you know, we've got people like Michael Burgess and Pete Sessions here. Louis Gohmert is a good, reliable congressman up in D.C. But the vast majority of our were otherwise we thought to be strong conservatives are really disappointing us. Joe, I mean, what the heck?
What we've got, Michael, in my opinion, is we've got the classic push-pull of politics versus principle. And what we have been told, let's just rewind for a little bit. The Republican leadership in the House and the Senate said, don't worry about Obamacare because the Supreme Court's going to overturn it. Right? Well, they didn't. Then they said, don't worry about Obamacare because we're going to win the 2012 presidential election. We didn't. And now they're telling us not to worry about Obamacare because most of Obamacare is mandated, and the continuing resolution doesn't affect. That's not true either, because the Hyde Amendment deals with a mandated allowing Medicaid to offer abortion services. But the Hyde Amendment we introduce every year disallows the abortions for those on Medicaid. So this defunding a bill is not without precedent. So let's just walk through this a second. Let's say that the House leadership gains its footing here and decides they are going to pass a continuing resolution, but in that continuing resolution is absent the funding for Obamacare. What happens then is that bill then goes to the Senate. And the Senate is going to then, Harry Reid is going to have to decide to either pass that bill or not pass, or come up with another bill. If they don't pass the bill, then it's Harry Reid that has basically shut down the government, not the Republicans, because the Republicans, remember, passed the bill. But if Harry Reid, if they pass another bill that funds Obamacare and it goes back to the House and the House says no to that, then what happens is that bill then goes to conference. And at the very least, the House appoints three, the Senate appoints three, and they go to conference. Now, if we can get Boehner to appoint three who are resolved to stand firm, okay, then what we've got is at least we are engaged in the fight. But what disturbs me more than anything, Michael, is not that we're winning or losing, it's that we won't even engage in the fight. And it was like I was sharing with Bing a few minutes ago, how pathetically sad our founding fathers must feel right now for the fact that here we had so many men and women who fought, bled, and died so we could have this great country, and yet our current elected officials won't even fight for that for which they fought, bled, died for. That is truly what's tragic here. So I don't know what the outcome would be, but I do know that without men of principle like Mike Lee and Testy and Ted Cruz and Smart Meadows and Justin Amash and so many others, without more men like them, we don't even want to take up the fight. That's what's tragic.
It's pathetic. And the sad part about it is if this didn't, you know, John Cornyn is talking out of talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, he's continuing to say he was an original signer, which he was, but he's pulled his name and sits withdrawn his support, but continues to say he supports defunding at a later time, repeal and defund. In other words, he wants to go ahead, fund it, let the entitlement kick in. In which there's never been an entitlement that went away.
Michael, there is no mechanism for repealing Obamacare as long as you got a Democrat in the White House and you've got a majority in the Senate. That's not
absolutely.
Even, so what do we do? We've got to defund it. And unless you're just an abject coward and you have no desire to fight, I mean, what I've outlined is a real and tenable way this can be resolved. But even if we don't win the fight, since like Jim DeMint said, since when do we make decisions based on whether or not we're going to win? I mean, I used to play football when I was in high school, and I've been very athletically involved. I mean, there are a lot of times I get engaged in athletic competition, and I'm uncertain, and sometimes I'm pretty certain about my ability to whether or not I'm going to win. But that doesn't mean I don't engage in the fight. And
right.
this is ridiculous that we don't have men and women of political courage leading us, saying, we don't know if we're going to win, but by God, we're going to try. We're not going to stand here and let the liberal progressive Democrats shove this thing down our throats without us kicking up some sand.
Yeah. This is exactly why
that,
I know I'm going to send money
promo,
to the RNC.
Like,
like
that for a promo.
Oh,
that
we
for
passed
a promo.
The hard. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Joe. We're up against. We're actually past the hard break.
My apologies.
Yeah, represent. Oh no. That's passionate, man. That is passionate. That
well,
is,
Joe's
that,
absolutely that, right, and this is why we need Joe
right.
And folks to they need to challenge. I mean, look, I am trying desperately to get someone to primary Cornyn to Cornyn. I don't know why I keep saying Cornyn. It's a Texas, but it's Cornyn. I guess it's a throwback to Corzine, that New Jersey guy that was a crook. But no, Joe's absolutely right. I mean, we've got the Republican Party, with the exception of a handful of men like Joe Carr at Tennessee or Ted Cruz, at whatever level they are, the Republican Party is falling apart because of lack of leadership. And the liberals, you know, I heard Donna Brazile this morning say, and Julian Castro say that, you know, the Republican Party's going to self-destruct because there's so much infighting. Well, they're damn right. I am fighting. I'm not fighting the left right now until 2016. I'm fighting my own party right now.
Yeah, well, I said that. I've been saying that. I hate waking up and fighting, you know. I'm independent, okay? But, I started with the GOP, but I hate fighting my own party. But, Joe, while we got you on here, man, go ahead and tout your website. And look, for all our listeners out there, you don't have to be in the state of Tennessee to contribute to Joe Carr's campaign. Because
because what we've got is we've got men and women all across the country who are trying to fight, and they represent us all. So if your listeners want to put more men and women like Jim Bridenstine up in Congress, or Gohmert or Duncan or Gowdy or Cruz or Lee, you know, there's quite a few up there. We just need a few more. Then please go to joecarrforcongress.com, visit the website, and there's a way for you to contribute directly through the website, and we would really appreciate it. Everything's going well, but we've got a tough fight on our hands, because we've got an establishment moderate Republican who's running, and of course we've got an incumbent who's had his own challenges, whose voting record, according to Heritage, is only 75%, and I just don't think that's good enough.
No, it definitely isn't. It's not. It's not the conservative, you know. And when we conservatives sit here and talk, you know, amongst ourselves and so on, and your name is brought up, it's like, wow, with Ted Cruz and with all these big time billings, you know. I mean, you're out there, Joe. I hope we can get your name out there a little bit more. And I hope our friends listening will get your name out and get your message out. Your message is the important thing.
Yeah,
it's not your name so much. It's your message.
And it's
Bing and I support you, Joe.
I do know that, Michael, and thank you very much.
I do what I can from Texas, though I can't vote for you. No, and real quickly, I know you've got to go, and we've got to hit this hard break. Then we're going to hit it a little late. But here's a little bit of good news, Joe. We've already got a show on Monday nights with Dave Vance. I heard you say you know him, and it's sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. Starting September 1st, actually, Bing and I have discussed it with the management of Conservative Nation Media, and Bing and I are going to be bringing 4 hours of broadcasting on Sunday. We're splitting our show. Yes, Bing and I are each going to do our own show so that we can bring folks, and I have a sneaking suspicion Bing will be gearing hit not only towards the national scene, but with heavy influence of Tennessee, because Tennessee and Texas – what folks need to understand, Joe, is if Tennessee and Texas go blue, deep blue, as Tennessee and Texas goes, so goes the country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we need to bring we need to ensure that these states stay red so they can lead the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for being – or Representative Carr for being
– Joe's fine. Joe is fine. Hey, guys, Bing, Michael, thank you very much. God bless, and God bless America.
God bless you, Joe, and yes, God bless America. Thank you, sir, so much for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bing, we better hit this break or we're both going to Huntsville.
Well,
you and I'll be bunk buddies down there.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B., and my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher. It is about 11 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Look us up at conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. And in case you haven't figured it out, folks, we've launched a war. We're declaring war on the progressives and on the rhinos here at Conservative Nation Radio. I mean, this is all out war. Our country is slipping through our fingers. I try to stay upbeat about it, Bing, but, you know, we say this every week. We move 2 miles to the left. We jump back 1 mile to the right. We're still one frickin' mile down the road. How many miles to the left are we down the road? I mean, look, 10 years ago, you and I would have never thought that we would be having this discussion about failed leadership that is equivocating on something like Obamacare, which is going to take over 6% of the economy, and we've got leaders that don't if the Republicans in the Senate would only get behind Lee and Cruz and say, we will fund the government, but we will not fund Obamacare, just like the Hyde Amendment, then we could probably get this done. I mean, that's just the cold, hard fact.
They won't. Yeah, but they won't, because that is their biscuit. That's their little biscuit that they go after every day.
That's what makes them rhinos. That's what makes them neoconservatives, big spending government Republicans. When it comes right down to it, these folks have the same goal as the Democrats, and that's to keep America ignorant and under their thumb.
Well, not all of them. I mean, our last guest definitely is not in
line. But he's not a rhino or a neocon either.
No, he's not. But the thing is that, look, these people want to have you under control. They want you under the thumb, under the finger, and, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's been that way for a long time. I mean, people talk about the NSA, you know, creep into our lives and so on. And I've sat there and talked about this. And it's like, look, the IRS already has everything that can be known about you, except pictures, maybe. Maybe they even got that. I don't know. But they have, you know, they got where you bank. They got where you're, you know, how much you make a year. They got where you work. They got everything about you. But now all of a sudden, you know, Eric Snowden comes out with his, you know, revelation that, you know, well, the government's spying on you. Oh, really? What, this just happened last night? You know, no. This has been going on for years, man, and nobody says nothing about it. I know I'm getting off topic. I didn't mean to do that. But
No. I mean, there's so much wrong.
But, I mean, look how much stuff that you have that the IRS knows about you. The IRS, Michael, and look, with the IRS, they can sit there and do whatever they want to do. You know how they are. They can sit there and do whatever they want to do with you.
Well, I've got a question for you.
Call up the FBI and say, well, look, you know, this guy made a lot more money last year than he did last year or the year before. So you ought to go check him out.
But, well, you know, let's bring in – look, we went into the top of the hour late. We did our hard break late. Let's just blow by this soft break. Let's bring in that GOP chairman from Henry County, Tennessee, Mr. Kurt Blackwood, who is by no means a rhino or a neocon. I mean, he's a good GOPer. He's, you know, he's one of us. I mean, look, I'm basically a Republican, though I belong to the American Conservative Party. I will always vote Republican. There's probably very few Democrats that I would ever vote for. I can't think of any that I would, quite honestly. The libertarian strain is just a little too far out there for me. So I typically vote Republican, and I'm just really upset with the Republican Party right now, but not with people like Kurt Blackwood, who's the GOP chair trying to make a change. Kurt, I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
Welcome to the show. If Chris Matthews, Piers Morgan, and Al Sharpton were drowning and you only had time to save one of them, what kind of a sandwich would you make?
Pulled pork is what my response was.
I'd make a grilled cheese
with a pickle.
I would make a ham. I'd make a ham sandwich. That's what I always do when I want to irritate Allah.
Well, so tell us what's going on in Kurt's world. How's it going over there in Henry County, buddy?
It's going, Michael. That's about all I can tell you.
You fighting the good fight?
Oh yeah. We're going to hang in there to the bitter end, wherever the bitter end is. There's a lot of work to do, a tremendous amount of work to do. And don't ask me how it's going to wind up, because I honestly don't know. We're just going to do the best we can to try to affect the change that needs to be made. And you guys, along with Joe Carr and others like Joe Carr, know what those changes are. We've got what I think is hopefully a monumental date coming up on August the 21st when we'll be going to Nashville to meet with my memory's failing me here, what the actual name of it. We started off calling it the Balance of Powers Committee, and it's got another name. I think it's the Joint Oversight Subcommittee is probably the correct name. It's the committee that Judd Matheny is chairing, and we meet with that subcommittee on the 21st of August, and we want to urge Tea Party conservatives to be there for that, and also to be on their best behavior, because we got to impress these folks in this committee. We need to impress them favorably, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. And then another important date, not too far down the road behind that, is September 19th and 20th, when the Senate Education Committee Chairman Dolores Gresham will host a hearing on Common Core, the 19th and 20th of September. That's going to be a very important event as well there. I doubt that there's anyone here listening that doesn't know what Common Core is, where it came from, and what its goal is. So just get on board with these two events, folks. That's the best thing I know to tell you right at the moment, okay? Back to Michael.
Kurt, you know, you're absolutely right. Folks need to pay attention to what their kids are being taught. This Common Core is a perfidious little creature that the left has invented. William Ayers, we all know who the domestic terrorist William Ayers is. You know, he's kind of one of the brains of this. Linda Darling Hamilton, who is an acolyte of Obama here in Texas. She, you know, we said no to Common Core, so they backdoored us with C-Scope. Now, Senator Dan Patrick has waged a pretty good war against doing away with C-Scope. We've still got a battle going on with it. This is indoctrination of the worst kind, Common Core and C-Scope, for those folks that are listening in Texas. Kurt is absolutely right. I mean, if you don't pay attention to what's going on, look, William Ayers, I should have dug it up and put it on here. There's a clip you can find on YouTube about William Ayers talking about Common Core, and he flat out says, forget about Obama, it doesn't matter. Obama, though he's changed a lot, he's not going to take us as far as we need to go. Where we need to go is into the schools. We need to get into kindergarten through sixth grade, where and start indoctrinating these folks now. And the way they do that is in lessons where they do something like, say, for instance, we're going to teach folks about the Patriots at the Boston Tea Party, and then they'll say, put yourself in the shoes of King George. Do you think the Tea Party was radicals? Now, what they're doing there, you've got to pay attention to what they're doing, because what they're doing is they're putting Tea Party and terrorists in one lesson plan. It's a play on words. They're associating, because kids today don't learn very much about the Boston Tea Party, but they hear their parents talk about or see on the news something about the Tea Party movement of today every day. So it's being associated with terrorism. This is there's lesson plans where they're wanting people to see how it feels, little girls to see how it feels to be a Muslim lady, so they're having them wearing burqas at school. This is the kind of crap that the left is pulling on us. It's very shady. You know, it's under the guise of implementing critical thinking skills, but people in the kindergarten through sixth grade, they don't have the kind of critical thinking skills where you could say to me, Kurt, Michael, if you were King George, what would you have thought about the Boston Tea Party? Were they terrorists? See, you and I could have that critical thinking discussion. Folks in kindergarten through sixth grade, they don't have that ability.
No, they don't. No, and it should not be – this kind of crap should not be taught in schools, period. The government should not be involved in this at all. And actually, to play devil's advocate, is that this is up to the states. I think each state governor's association is what actually put this on. And I think that each state has the right to dictate what they feel is what they want as a core curriculum for their state.
That's absolutely right. But the problem is the school district takes federal funds, and then once you take a sip from that cow's teat, you're stuck. You're stuck.
Well, I know. But also, look, it's incumbent to the parents that have kids in the public school system to go there and figure out what they're watching, what they're reading, what they're listening to, who's teaching them, and kick some butt and take some names, as that commercial goes for Geico or whatever it is. And I just think that's the it boils down to people taking responsibility. And if you want to ship your kid off to school and that kind of thing, and you don't care about what they're being taught, then you really don't have a say so, unless you get involved.
Look, we're in a battle with folks that embrace this is ideological form. They embrace this mentality of indoctrination at the federal level. The federal government hands out, it sticks this little carrot in front of you on the end of a stick, and, people grab it. Well, then they're stuck. It's like a crack pipe. We're up against folks that want abortion on demand, never mind the fact that life at 20 weeks is viable, and that what you're killing is something that actually feels pain. This is – when you're up against people with this kind of mentality – I mean, they're essentially the kamikazes of America. I mean, like the kamikaze pilots in World War II over in the Pacific that would crash their plane into ships with them in it, That's how radical these people are.
Well, you look, and the thing is that, look, the people, these people that you're talking about, we overcame, we got rid of, because they don't fit the American lifestyle. They don't fit our lifestyle, but our lifestyle's changing. And that was really the crux of the biscuit for this show today. It's just we're into this mentality where everybody expects something. Everybody is exceptional. Everybody. They want to be exceptional. And I'm like, no, you're not exceptional. You're just a regular person. You become exceptional when you do something that creates some kind of viability for the economy or for your work, you know, your company or whatever, you know, or for your family.
Yeah, we're no longer a country of exceptionalism. The left doesn't want us to be exceptional. They want us to. They want a country of mediocrity.
No, but what I mean by exceptionalism is that, okay, you're grown up, you're saying, you know, your teachers and so on are saying, look, bang, you're exceptional. You got great whatever it might be, skills, you know. You should, you know, go into, no, you know, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't want to go into writing. Maybe I don't want to go into this. You know, but they keep talking about exceptionalism. It's not that. It's people. There's more people out there that are exceptional that are regular people than
there are people
out there that are exceptional. How it's the same government that picks and chooses winners and losers. It's the same government that picks and chooses, okay, who's going to, you know, survive? You got, what, 200-some-odd companies, coal companies, that are going out of business this year because the government is forcing them out of business. It's putting a lot of people. Go ahead. I didn't know if that was Kurt or not. But I'd like to bring Ron in real quick. Ron, you always got something to say from Georgia. Hello,
brother. Today I'm going to give my time over to Rick Mitchell. He's the Georgia T-Team coordinator, and I think you might like a little bit of what he's got to say.
He's hanging out. Cool.
Say hello.
Well, how y'all doing?
We doing good.
Doing, Rick?
All right. Now, I've been kind of just mainly sitting back here with Ron through some of the broadcasts, listening to I am, you know, like many of us, concerned about who in the heck is running this country or supposed to be running this country, and it's good to hear that there are people out there that are trying to put some good old grassroots, traditional American movement people into office. But we were also discussing, I'm the Georgia T-Team. I'm with Bill Finley, Wild Bill for America.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yes.
I'm the coordinator, and we're trying to put into the public schools a little more of the, like Christian information, whether it be pamphlets as well as actual, you know, Constitution, Bill of Rights, even some information on Common Core curriculum, which we are very much against as far as in any of the states that's adopted it. But and not just in Georgia, other states as well, but getting a little more of the of Christian information back into the schools, because we believe that, you know, you look around, you watch God being taken out of the country, well, look at the mess we're in right now. And I believe in putting God back in schools.
Well, Rick, you're right on target. Secularism, you take, you know, look, communism was atheist for a reason. You take away people's faith or hope in something greater than themselves, and then you make the government the god, and that's these folks got it planned out to the T, Rick. And I'm glad to hear you've got quite a task ahead of you, you know, because of that Madeleine Murray O'Hare. Well, I'm not going to say what I'd like to call her, but it starts with a C. But you know, this lady successfully got it out. Well, I was going to say chick, but, you know.
Oh, okay. I got my mind in the gutter, man.
But now, hey, Rick, as a T guy down there, I know Ron's been on since the beginning of the show. You've probably heard the conversation with Joe. What are y'all doing, you and Ron and other Tea Party guys, grassroots conservative, 912ers, liberty activists doing down there? Trying to gather support and pressuring Saxby Chambliss is one of y'all's senators, is he not?
Don't ever use profanity on the radio. Saxby Chambliss, that's drunk.
I'm
glad that he's actually bowing out. Isaacson, he's worthless as well. Any of you out there in Georgia listening, don't vote for Isaacson. He's the only difference between him and Saxby Chambliss is I don't think he's a drunk like Saxby is, but they're both Carl Rovian bobbleheads that basically up there bobbling their head up and down, oh, yeah, we'll vote for the NDAA, oh, yeah, we'll vote, oh, yeah, whatever you guys want, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, good grief. People were elected by the, by not just the Tea Party, but a lot of people out there that wanted to go into Congress and go into the Senate and say, look, let's stop this spending, okay? We're spending too much money. We are getting very, very deep in debt, and we need to stop this, quite simple. And they get up there. And what do? I don't know. You tell me. I ain't got a clue overall what they've done, because now we're going on $16.7 trillion, and that's what we know about, with a guaranteed $1.2 trillion increase every year, whether we want it or not. And on top of all that, I mean, you got to think, if they take $716 billion away from Medicare, well, guess where Medicare is going? It's going to go the way of the dodo. Everything's going to go on Medicaid. And I keep looking at the two classes of people are getting screwed here in this country big time, and one of them is military, combat. Hello? Remember what Feinstein said about us, all of us combat troops? We are mentally ill. Okay, so the combat troops ain't getting it too good. I mean, why should we even really have in this country, really? I'm really glad for wounded warriors, but why should we have that? Okay, shouldn't the government be taking care of those people that have went over there and risked their life and have lost limbs in defense of our freedoms that we hear preached about? And, there's just too many idiots. Another, it's old people. The older you get, the more you get screwed by this nation. And yep. It's really coming to a head with Obroho. That's Obama. And he is a broho.
Broho.
And him and Manchel and the rest of that group up there and all their liberal clan, and they and I look, let me just say this, and I'll let y'all talk all you want to talk, but here's the thing. The President of the United States today, and it don't matter if it's Obroho or who it is, if it is a matter of national security or if it is a matter of a treaty with another nation, NATO, the UN, whatever the case may be, because treaties now override our Constitution. And a matter of national security, the President of the United States does not need the Senate, does not need the House of Representatives, and does not need the judiciary. In other words, the President of the United States at this point is got too much power for one man. And Obama isn't the first one that's done executive orders, okay? I mean, this has been done over a period of time, but what Obama has done is he's taken it and he has just escalated it and then into this huge, big, and then accelerated it. And he's like combined everything all together and go, because he wants to be king, okay? And unless he gets Secretary General of the UN come 2016, that man is going for a third term and for a fourth and whatever, because he ain't coming out.
Absolutely. Hey, Ron, and Rick, you guys stay tight. We're up against a hard break.
Yeah, and Rick, tell Bill to give me a call, man.
Yeah, hang tight, Rick. I got some more questions for you.
But I'm surprised that you and Ron are in the same room together.
Hey,
now we're in the same room together. Well, Ron and I, yeah, we're tag team partners. Hear this here. I'm slapping his hand. Now he's coming in the ring.
You know about getting slapped, don't you, Bing?
Ain't the first time. Oh, Lord, and I'll tell you what, it won't be the last.
Let's do this heartbreak. Let's do this heartbreak.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, It's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Garden. Welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism Radio, and we're at 718-305-7176. Hey, Liz, listen, let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short. And if you can hear thunder outside my door, that's probably thunder outside my door. Because in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country, you and your family are unable to get the basic benefits of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.com, or .org, actually, for now, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag, be ready for whatever the future holds, standing right now. Starting right now, just go to conservativenationradio.org.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. Thank God,
yeah.
Michael. I couldn't have screwed that up anymore.
No, it sounded great. It is 33 minutes after the top of the hour. Check us out at conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece of traditionalamericanmovement.com. We've had Joe Carr on. That was a great conversation. We're down to the last two segments of the show, and we've had GOP Chair Kurt Blackwood from Henry County, Tennessee on. We've got Ron Adcox on from Georgia with Rick. I know he said Rick's last name, and Rick Mitchell with the Tea Party groups down there in Georgia, Georgia Tea with Wild Bill Hickok, actually. Rick, I was going to ask you. You probably heard us talking about defunding Obamacare. I've got a couple of tweets that go out daily to Cornyn, McCain, Chambliss, Lamar, Bob Corker, Lindsey Graham, these folks that do not want to vote on a continuing resolution that will fund the government but defund anything, any part of Obamacare. What are y'all doing there over in the Peach State, the fine state of Georgia, to try to get Saxby Chambliss, and I don't know much about your other senator. I know Saxby because he's a pretty vocal person. Because he's a pretty vocal person, to get these guys to either stand and lead or get the hell out of the way. I mean, this thing cannot be funded. If this thing gets funded and goes into effect full first force, other than the parts of the law that Obama has decided to not enforce, kind of like the immigration law, it's funny how this man works so hard, his crowning achievement, and then says, but we're not going to, of course, we all know why he did it. It's for political reasons.
But, I mean, we've got the union thugs that don't want this thing, the TEA, the Teachers Education Association, that doesn't want this thing. The Congress has voted themselves an exemption. I mean, there's more freaking people that have an exemption to this thing. It's going to be us, you know, in the middle, us middle-class Americans that are going to get screwed over this deal, and they're not even going to give us the courtesy of a reach-around. I mean, Rick, what are your thoughts on that? Rick, Ron, you guys there? Okay. Well, maybe they'll come back. Kurt, you probably heard all of that. What are your thoughts on that as GOP chair? I mean, I wanted to ask you that earlier, but what are you doing? Is there anything you're doing there in Henry County to try to get to get our leadership in D.C. to sign on with Cruz and Lee?
Yeah. Mostly it's just individual citizens sending emails, faxes, phone calls, whatever, to their respective senators and congressmen regarding this. There's not any concerted effort from the Republican Party, as it were. And there's a reason for that. This changeover has brought a whole new set of circumstances to the county GOP, and there's some work to be done to put it back into a functioning machine, if it's okay to use that terminology for it. You know how establishment politicians are, and what happened here was the establishment of the local Republican Party is no longer in power. And so there are things that have to be done to put together an effective working machine. It's just that simple. But a lot of individuals are making their personal efforts at communicating with the senators and congressmen on this issue of Obamacare. I don't know anyone in their right mind that doesn't want it defunded.
Except for our leaders. Thanks,
well,
Kurt.
I said in the right mind.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, Kurt. I mean, this is a persistent problem, you know, and, you know, I often say, and I know being likes to stipulate, and I'll go ahead and stipulate, you know, it's not all of the Republicans. Look, I vote Republican. I vote Republican.
Yeah.
You know, let's just. I don't donate to the National Republican Party anymore. I don't, you know, my monies go straight to the coffers of the candidates that I support. I will no longer fund the Conservative Senate Caucus or the National RNC and Rich Priebus. I will no longer fund them for failed leadership. But I will support Republican candidates. God knows I spend a nice little chunk of change. I just sent Ken Paxton $25 and Connie Burton both $25 yesterday. Senator Paxton is running for our attorney general to fill the shoes of Attorney General Greg Abbott, who's running for governor and will win. We're kind of hoping that Wendy Davis is so full of herself, she's riding this stardom that she got from the filibuster. You know, 71% of Texans are opposed to abortion at 20 weeks or beyond. She ran as a moderate in Texas Senate District 10. If she will run for governor, she will have to vacate her seat, which will win anyway if she seeks reelection in that Senate district because of that filibuster and standing opposed to so many Texans. But with what you're saying, Kurt, and what I'm trying to say is, folks, you've got to sit. These guys, Joe Carr, Connie Burton, for you Texans that are listening out there, listen. If you're a Texan and you're within range of my voice right now, it doesn't matter what Senate district you live in. Do you want to have 20 seats, possibly 21 seats, so that we have veto override power? I mean, not that we have to worry about that with Governor Perry or with soon-to-be Governor Abbott, but God forbid. You know, it's nice to be able to have that ability to have the three-quarters majority in the state Senate. So that basically the few Democrats that are there, which would be 10 if we had 21, because our Senate chamber has 31 senators. If we've got 21, we've got a veto-proof Senate. We can do anything we want, and that's not unreasonable for Texas. The point I'm making is these candidates need $25, $10, whatever you can afford.
$5, it doesn't matter, Mike.
But $5 will buy a lit kit. That'll buy a press kit for Joe Carr to give to Bing. And a press kit comes, a lit kit comes with some push cards and some literature. It's quite a bit of stuff. That gets those key points out that these candidates need to be handing out at the Tea Party rallies or at the Republican rallies and town halls and whatnot. That's $5 will fund a lit kit.
What's more important is the amount of money that the candidate raises makes the other candidates look there and go, whoa, they look at that. They look at that. Mm-hmm. So the more money we can raise for a candidate, and I don't care if they're a candidate in your state or not, I sent money to Ted Cruz, sent money to Rand Paul. These people deserve our leadership, our donations, I guess it would be. And they also deserve our respect, and they deserve our kudos. And when they're doing good, let's give them a heads up, and say, look, you're doing great. Instead of yelling at them all the time. There's sometimes that a candidate does need to be yelled at a little bit. But I'm just saying, when they do good, give them a kudos.
Well, Tip O'Neill used to say that all politics was local, and basically it is local. I'm a very active locally. I've been supporting Ken Paxton. My winning ticket, because I don't have anybody in my district that's actually running in 2014, so I'm only looking at voting for statewide offices, with the exception of Texas Senate District 10, which is a neighboring Senate district, and the lady that's running in that primary, Connie Burton's running against Dr. Mark Shelton, who narrowly lost against Connie Burton, Wendy Davis last year. She drew a lot. She has to run again after 2 years, and then we'll be on a cycle of every 4 years. The point I'm making is, it's like I said earlier, if Texas slips from being red to purple or to blue, even worse yet, blue, as goes the red states, so goes the country. If we lose Texas, if Texas goes blue, this country's screwed for years to come. We've got one of the largest caches of Republican delegates, and if we turn to a blue state, it's just bad news. It's bad news for the country. And I'm not being pigheaded about Texas being so great. It's just the fact that if Tennessee turns deep blue, any of the red states, if they turn deep blue, this country's screwed.
Well, of course. Tennessee, we're in the middle of it, as Joe said. Basically, his district is right in the middle of the country. As Representative Carr said, and the thing is that we have to, as people, we have to overcome the BS and move on with the with what we know is real, what we know is the people that we want to elect. And we do have a little break coming up here, Michael, if you want to take it real quick and then.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll finish out this show. Be right back. Go ahead, Big.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on Conservative Nation Radio.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of step is one. Hey, that takes me back to the 70s, brother. Pass that on over here. I say, oh, yeah, I say. Well, there's our...
I tell you what, I had a whole slew of these, man, and they were all aimed at the welfare benefits and that, the welfare mentality clips and that, but you erased them, Michael.
I know, well. Hey, let's bring in Dave
Hey, it's
Dance
inside
here.
Radio talk, you know.
Yeah, buddy.
Kind of stuff. Well, but I did get that one, and Steppenwolf is just a group that, and I tell you what, man, there's a lot of groups that I like, but... Eli's Coming was another one that was on there. Gwen Stefani was another one. It was like, you know, oh, man, it's all gone.
Well, let's bring in Dave Vance here, brother. And then we'll come back. When we get done with Dave, we'll talk a little bit, start preparing our listeners for 4 hours of you and me.
Oh, God.
I know.
Dave,
We're
going to bring in Dave who?
Dave Vance.
Hey, Bing. How's it going?
Hey, Dave. What's up,
man?
That
ought to be four great hours.
Well, I think it will be. 2 hours of me from 3 to 5, and then 2 hours of Bing from 5 to 7. I mean, what a great way to spend your Sunday evening. You can have toddies with us. And we will talk politics, and we will declare war on liberals and their bastard children, the rhinos.
Yeah. T for Texas, T for Tennessee. Excuse me, T for Tennessee, T for Texas. Cool.
Well, speaking of Tennessee, tell us what's going on the Tennessee Action Council show with Dave Vance.
Inside Tennessee.
Tomorrow night on Inside Tennessee from 6 to 8 p.m. Central, we're going to have Don Barnett. He's from the Center of Immigration Studies. And he's going to talk about the refugee resettlement program in Tennessee and what it cost us and how we have pretty much handed it over to an NGO and our state is failing in its one of its basic responsibilities. And then we're going to have City Alderman from Franklin, Bev Berger, and she's going to talk about Agenda 21 issues going on in Franklin and identifying things that are actually Agenda 21 and things that some people think they are Agenda 21 but are not actually. And so that should be good. She's very knowledgeable on the issue, and she's in city government, and she's looking out for the people of Franklin on that issue and keeping everybody informed.
Well,
and
it sounds like
a chance
a great
we might show. We might have another guest. We haven't got that one confirmed yet. Lori Cardoza Moore may be on with us, and if she does come on, she's going to talk about the textbook issue. You know, they're putting more of this Islamist and anti-Semitic stuff in the textbooks, and she'll talk about Common Core some as well. So, by the way, tomorrow night our host is going to be Rob Hathaway. I won't be hosting the show tomorrow night. Rob's going to fill in. I've got some things I've got to take care of. And so hope everybody will tune in tomorrow night for Inside Tennessee from 6 to 8 Central.
Well, that sounds like a winner, David. If you've got a few minutes, we've got about 5 minutes left. We'll close the show out. You know, we've got some great things happening. Tennessee, Inside Tennessee Politics with Dave Vance, which is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, is one of the premier shows here at Conservative Nation Media. Actually, Conservative Nation Radio, a subsidiary of Conservative Nation Media. And we've got some great things happening, Dave. You probably heard me say that Bing and I, we're not divorcing, but we're each going to do our own show for 4 hours on Sundays. We've got other shows perking up. We're looking at 4 hours of daily broadcasting,
daily
bringing the best. I mean, having a real dialogue with the American people. I mean, truth well told. And yours is one of the backbones of the organization. I'm looking forward to doing a show on my own, and I know Bing is that takes off and launches as well as Inside Tennessee. I know I intend to focus, to keep mine topically conservative nationwide, but we'll probably start be looking to focus in and zero in on some Texas politics. I don't know yet, but I think I'm going to have a pretty good guest for the premiere of which will be Soldier of Patriotism. And Bing, what are we going to call it? What did you and the management come up with for your show?
Well, I came up with it. Management didn't come up with it. I came up with it.
Well, what did you come up with? What did you call it?
No, I'm going to call it American by Design.
I love it. What a great double entendre.
I can relate to a lot of stuff according to the name, because I am an engineer at work. So I can relate to that aspect of it. I can relate to the aspect of the founding fathers, designing America. They did it. They engineered it, and it's a great testimony to the fortitude of these people that actually came up with that idea of America.
Well, we've got some really great stuff coming on. I mean, I don't want to give away the put the cart before the horse, but man, we've got a conservative Republican Cuban that's going to be doing a show, bringing in a whole new aspect. I mean, not that we play identity politics here at Conservative Nation Media. But it's going to be good to have a show that caters to that community and get the views of the Cuban community, which, by the way, most folks don't realize Cubans are different from the Hispanic community in general.
They're more conservative generally.
Yes, much more conservative and very independent. Well, Dave, these are folks that escaped communism under Fidel Castro. They don't want to see America. I mean, Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father, is a good friend of mine. Rafael's a great man, and he pulled me aside one time. He said, "Michael, if we lose this country, where am I going to go next?"
Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. This is the last stand, bottom line.
Well, and as we talked to Jake Danishevsky last week, Michael, I mean, I was saying that I don't think you can understand communism unless you lived under it, but we're living under it pretty much right now. So I don't know. We have to get used to it or fight it, one of the two. Fight or flee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dave, thanks for joining us for the end of the show here to tell us about Inside Tennessee Politics. We'll be looking forward to that show tomorrow.
Hey, thanks again for everything, and great show today, guys, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.
All right.
Take care,
Dave. I'll shoot you an email after a little bit here, Dave.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Bye.
Well, Bing, that brings us to the end of our show, my brother. Again, folks, September 1, mark your calendars. 4 hours. Count them. 4 hours with myself and with Bing, only it will be 2 hours with me, immediately followed by my brother, Uncle Bing, with 2 hours with him. I mean, Bing, this is going to be – I'm really excited about it. Sunday starts the week. So you and I are in the unique position of talking about the week that just ended and preparing our listeners for the week that's about to ensue.
Well, and that's the whole thing. We got a lot of other stuff going on too, as coming down the pike. So, it's a great thing. I like it.
Absolutely, brother.
And
we'll
see how much we like it when we go do it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's been the show. We've got to come up with something to, a minute's worth of music. Duke's going to have to allow us a minute's worth of outgoing music. Because I hate just ending a show with a goodbye and God. I mean, although I love it, I like to end with something to kind of wind the people down. But I guess today we're just going to have to end with thanks for joining us. God bless you all. We appreciate that you spend your Sundays with us. And God bless America.
God bless y'all.